Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Tip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Oh yeah, welcome to episode 120 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. All right, this episode is always brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, Heaven's Harvest, 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Get all of your supply needs taken care of over there. Trust me, them seeds are off the meat wagon, and so is their meat. It's actually off the meat wagon, but it's in, you know, big buckets and all that kind of good stuff. So anything that you can't produce yourself, you might want to consider. Folks, I'm not saying this to sell product. I'm telling you because it's getting real. And some of the people that are more normies in this space are even starting to wake up. We're going to discuss some of that. Anyway, how you doing, son?
Pretty good. A little irritated with the computer. It started messing up again right before we started recording.
And then all of a sudden it started working right after I did a little silent prayer over here, which he's just now finding out himself.
Yeah, I didn't even know you did that.
Yeah. Funny how that sort of thing happens, huh? Anyway, if you would like to tip a pimp, go check us out on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there. And if you would like, you can drop some sets to a PIMP. Once again, permaculture is my passion because people are so easily offended these days.
Yep.
Got to point that out. I mean, easily offended.
What is it? You get another email about the pimp daddy thing?
Yeah, a lot of that. I get that stuff from time to time, and it's just people that don't realize. I don't, you know, strangely enough, people, I think, don't know what an acronym is.
Oh, yeah.
They see it in the title where there's P, period. Capital I, capital, you know, yeah,
so clearly on and so forth. It stands for something.
It's an acronym, but people don't get it. And in fact, when I write back and say, well, it's an acronym, it stands for this, about 50% of the time, it's going to be, I don't care. I'm already pissed off.
Right.
And the other part of the time, it's going to be, oh, I didn't know that. I'm like, it's right there in the title when you clicked onto it, but it's all good. All right. We're going to jump straight.
Now look at this, Dad. Now Siri is randomly popping up on the computer. All right, now we're back. Siri popped up on the computer. I'm sure you guys heard me say that. And then yeah. I tried to stop Siri, and then it stopped the whole doggone recording.
It is just mind-boggling, the things that go on. And
I wasn't even touching the computer. There's no way for that to
I saw your hands.
Happened.
You were sitting right there. I mean,
it was on camera.
Yeah.
They'll
yeah.
see.
Well, if that's working right.
Yeah, I'll probably find out when we're done. I checked it twice before we got started.
Man, yeah. We got to quit talking to Tony Merkel, man.
I mean, I don't think it's that. We got to, I guess, keep talking about the USS Liberty.
Yeah, oh, there you did it again.
You know what kind of ads I've been getting like crazy? Well, I'll wait till the farm news.
Well, we're into the farm news right now, okay. And why don't you just go ahead and kick that off?
Yeah, since the last episode, which was Monday, we upload these episodes like 5 minutes after we get done recording. But the after that episode, I've been getting ads on YouTube about buying like US/Israel pins, about going to visit Israel, about like the history of just like how Israel became a nation and stuff like that. I've been getting all kinds of crazy Israel ads. And even if it's one of those things where I didn't notice it until we started thinking about it, that's still a lot of doggone Israel ads.
Well, I think what it really comes down to, and folks, look, I hate that I even got to preface it this way. Look, I'm not against Americans. I seriously dislike our government. I'm not against Russians, but I probably have a few problems with their government. I'm not against Jewish people, but I definitely got a problem with their government. Yeah. And I could even give you the history of Robert Maxwell for all of you people that wrote to me saying, gee, I didn't know anything about the USS Liberty and all these other things. All those things. Look at Robert Maxwell. You know, the dad of Ghislaine Maxwell. Find out what's under his fingernails. Find out who he was working for. Find out just how powerful that guy was. Could literally walk into the White House pretty much anytime he wanted.
and find out who killed him.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you know that, son. That's my dog. Anyway, so now that you got that, now that you got us, absolutely banned.
Yep.
I just want to tell y'all, look on the farm news, things are kicking and it's really happening at an incredible rate. We got peaches. We got one tree where the peaches, when the bugs don't get to them, is without a doubt the most aromatic, flavorful peach I've ever had in my life.
But it's the least resistant peach tree we have.
What do you mean least resistant?
To pests. It's the least resistant to pests so far. Because so far,
I'm talking about the one off the back porch.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's the least resistant. I see what you're saying.
It's the least resistant to the pests. Because every other peach tree here seems to do fine about, it could be better soil conditions,
too. That's exactly what I was going to get at, is that the soil conditions on all the others is fantastic. The soil conditions where that is, highly compacted, not good at all.
But you'd think there would be some sort of, because it's not that far away, you'd think there would be some sort of, protection or overlay.
Not that quick. I mean, it was sitting up there in that thicket among all those vines and thorns and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, folks, we don't even know what variety of peach this is, because somebody clearly threw a peach pit up there. There's no graft union. There's no nothing. So we don't even know what it is, but I do know that when you do get peaches off that tree, it will blow your... Have you ever had a peach that was better?
No, I honestly haven't.
I'm not saying it because it's right here, but here's my plan.
Well, we've had it compared to other peaches from here.
Yes. And I don't care where I got that peach from. It's not even... There's not even a close second, but here's the thing. Okay. All the other peaches, no bug problems, no nothing. This one here was here before we got the place. And of course, I've been working on it, pruning on it. And, I'm working. I just now put a mulch ring around this thing, and I'm going to bet by next year, with all of these soil amendments that we're producing, the compost teas and extracts, I'll bet a dollar to a dime we got this completely handled by next year.
If all this stuff works the way I'm thinking it might.
Well, we know it does we're already doing it in some areas.
Well, right. I mean, just to the fully extent. That it could be with the standards that we have to meet now. There shouldn't be a pest on this doggone property.
No. And in fact, we're finding out that just doing nothing but good, solid permaculture management, good mulching, looking after things, just taking care of that soil. It all stems from the soil. If we just do that, we're finding out that we really have no problems. Now, we're not the first to discover this. I mean, we've long known this, but it's pretty awesome when you see the transformation happen from ground that was so denuded, zero life, zero anything of any note. And then, honestly, in just 3 years, you're taking trees and you're actually getting some bomb fruit off of them. It's really astonishing.
We're the first ones to figure it out on this road.
You got that right. You said it all right there. We got pears coming up. We got a bunch of Asian pears. I think that's the only cultivar we have of pears that are really kicking.
Yeah, that are kicking. Yeah, we have a bunch of different varieties of pears. Some of them that we've grafted. And some of them are just flat out rootstock out there too.
Yeah. And we're going to do something with those in time, but we had to do something with it. They were outgrowing the pot. So we have rootstock out there, and we're going to see what we can do with that.
Another piece of farm news. So we just did that Comfrey sale where they got a free crown with any purchase of Comfrey that they had. One thing that I noticed this morning when we drove down to do the animals, I made a note of it to Mom, was how little of an area I had to harvest of Comfrey in order to fill those orders. Not saying that there weren't many orders, I think everybody wanted a crown, but it didn't take much of an area. If anybody was trying to get into the Comfrey business, like a local Comfrey business, it doesn't take much of an area. It takes a very, if I had to guess, maybe it was 10 by 20 feet.
Well, people think I'm crazy saying that people think we're crazy by showing people how to propagate this stuff.
Yeah.
How to do it yourself. How you should never, ever, ever, I don't care if you have just one plant come up, you should never, ever, ever have to buy Comfrey again. And people think we're crazy for doing that. The idea is I'm more concerned. I'm not worried about the almighty dollar. I know how to make money. I don't need to sell Comfrey to do that. what I'm hoping is that this stuff is so ubiquitous that nobody could ever sell it.
It's, I can't think of a more useful plant that for our area that we could grow.
Really,
we
any use area.
It, we interact with it every day.
Yeah, well, in every area. I mean, we make comfrey. We're making comfrey hay out of it, comfrey tea. Feed the animals with it. Has tons of protein in it. The animals love it. Medicinal qualities because it's a bioaccumulator. And I didn't even scratch the scratch of the surface. It's that, and that's why.
There's a book that I haven't even put a dent in. As far as like all the benefits of comfrey, the anecdotal and medical and like research benefits.
I mean, dude, in the Civil War, they were mending broken bones with it, man. That's why they call it knit bone, you know? Yeah. Look, that's exactly where I want to get. I hope it's so ubiquitous that nobody could even, where you try to sell comfrey would be like trying to sell a handful of dirt. That's where I hope it gets to. And that's what we're going to do if I have my dream. We also got some raspberries popping up, some blueberries, also doing all that good stuff. And
those raspberries taste like candy.
Yeah, they are.
I ate some more this morning.
They are really something else. I don't know what's happening with those blackberries. I haven't seen any of those as of late.
None of the, well, those I think already passed.
I haven't seen them at all this year is what I'm getting. Oh,
there were some. There were some up on that fence line with the donkeys. There were a few. There weren't like a whole lot. Maybe the donkeys kind of kept it in check.
Well, and as we're improving that soil over there, blackberries ain't coming back.
Well, I think some of the silvergrass might be receding too. Not in that really bad area where that sourwood is, but some of the lower areas and stuff. That or the donkeys trampled it down because they know mom's coming over with comfrey.
Yeah, so that's another thing. Yeah, feeding those donkeys over there. Good night. All right, so I'm looking into some other things, too. I'm checking out some Gulf Coast sheep, highly parasite-resistant, a sheep that does exceedingly well in the South. So for some of you folks that are down there in the Deep South, you're thinking about sheep, they're highly endangered also. And I know some folks around here that have some. So I'm thinking about maybe kicking in some of those genetics over here and seeing about what we can do. But a lot of people in the Deep South are thinking, man, I don't want to deal with them. Man, you always got to worm them. You got to do this.
Yeah.
Well, there is that, you know, these are some sheep down there. These are some sheep that are practically indigenous down there at this point. They do exceedingly well down there. So I'm thinking about crossing up some of the genetics around here and seeing what we get out of the deal just to kind of play with it, see what's up. And, you know, basically what we want is something, if you are high maintenance and you're an animal, this is not a great farm for you to be.
Right.
Because you're probably going to wind up in a pot. And look, y'all, I'm not trying to be flip here. I'm just telling you straight that if you don't straighten out your genetic issues or get rid of the ones that do, the last thing on earth you ever need to do is breed them. And why are you paying? They're better off being in the freezer. So we got one for sure we're going to do that with.
But yeah, and that's another good point is that you don't have to do it immediately either. You can wait till the temperature cools off. You can wait till you're ready. You can wait till it. I mean, the animal's already a nuisance. You don't have to make it a further nuisance by hurrying up and rushing into it.
Unless you think there might be an injury waiting down the line.
Yeah.
So you want to be careful on all that. So just keep in mind that no matter what you got going on with these animals, just keep in mind, ask yourself, are you running a petting zoo or are you running a farm? Because these are the hard realities that so many people struggle with. You get attached to these animals, you want to name them, and I get that. Well, I don't get it, but your mom, you know, she's kind of fallen prey to that a time or two or three or more.
Well, I get attached to them, but I can turn it off when it's time to eat.
Yeah, that's, well, there's the difference, and not everybody's geared that way.
Yeah.
All right, before we get into bad news, good news, remember we got the Kentucky Sustainable Living. That's going to be a festival October 28th and 29th. We're going to be there. We got some other festivals coming up too. Not sure to what extent we're going to be there at some of these others, but definitely going to be there. Remember, they're going to have a VIP dinner, and the proceeds will go to Veterans for Child Rescue. So, folks, I definitely want you to keep that in mind. I mean, with all these things that are going on right now, man, it's just heartbreaking to think that the number one, quote, product coming across those borders right now is children. And by and large, most people don't care. If I had any criticism about that movie, is that it didn't at all shine the light on the elite that are involved in this thing.
I think it probably set it up for a good part 2 and 3.
We'll see if that ever happens.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good way to portray what is actually going on.
We'll see if that ever happens. But speaking of part two, I'm sure there's a number of people out there wanting a part two to the last video we did.
So we're back on farm news.
Yeah, I had to go back to that, man. We'll get into bad news, good news in a section.
Jack, he edited an Instagram reel. Did you see it? Did he put it on YouTube as well? Oh, he did. Yeah, he edited an Instagram reel of that one where you're like in the peach tree saying inflatable tools. Where did you get that from?
Man, I just said the first thing that popped into my head, man.
Yeah, so y'all check out that video or check out the reels or something, because that video was fun to make, and it was just a fun video.
I can tell when some of these videos are it kind of hit the mark in terms of humor when I won't say who they are, but there's certain people that will text me when something struck them funny, you know? And when that happened, I know I hit the right note, because it was meant to be comedy.
And also, y'all, that is not Mom's voice. Some people thought that Mom was very good at just mimicking that voice.
Oh, really?
That is not Mom's voice.
Well, one of the people that texted me, they were saying, Billy, you were good, but Michelle was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that part was hilarious.
They apparently weren't a big fan of the person that was, you know, that was the butt of the joke.
Okay, on some platform, I got to release the footage of without the voiceover, because it's me and Mom just dying laughing while she's throwing her arms around. And I'm telling her, all right, throw your hair now. All right, throw your arms higher, higher.
Well, the suppression is definitely on. I mean, I know, look, the idea isn't to have a viral video per se. It really isn't. It's honestly letting off some steam. We got a lot of heavy stuff out there, y'all. And I know you know a lot of it. And we're trying as best we can from time to time to throw in a little bit of humor. And maybe at the same time, because I guarantee there's going to be some people upset about this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm probably going to be on somebody's hit list.
Actually, that has a higher approval rating than the video we did before that. Not the Naked Gardener one, not that one, but the one that we did right before that video. We have a higher approval rating on this one.
Well, I think people are getting it, and they're also realizing that there were people that once did decent homestead kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They realized, like all the other, or those of us out there that are putting out content that are either how-to or something like that, they realize at a certain point YouTube is going to stall you, so they shoot for the low-hanging fruit. They know if you do I know exactly what to do to get myself over the 200,000 mark, but I'm not concerned about that. But what's heartbreaking is when you see all these people for what they think is fortune and fame, what they think it is, and then you sell your soul to go out there and do these gratuitous videos, especially about things I know you don't know anything about. You're not going to tell me, you know, I know all of us come from different places. Not all of us came from a farm or a preparedness background. You know, I've been doing the preparedness thing for well over 20 years. I've been at it for actually longer than that, probably closer to almost 30 years if we get down to brass tacks. I've been at this for that long. And then these folks get in here and they're telling people bad information just to go ahead and get themselves more subscribers. You know, I could come down on a ton of bricks and do that, but I'm like, okay, the better medicine is definitely humor.
Oh, it's definitely to laugh at them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's, and that's honestly a tool that I think is seldom used, because you have certain other people out there. Maybe that'll be the next video we do, where they use an appeal to sympathy to get their views. And we don't do that.
No, man, that would hurt too much. No, we can't do
that. I got
that.
Ideas. That would hurt. I got ideas. I got ideas. But no, there's either this appeal to feel sorry for me, or it's the low-hanging fruit. But you know what the hardest thing to do is? I'm dead serious, y'all. You ask anybody that's had any kind of training in radio or TV or acting or anything like that, you know what the hardest thing to do, son? The hardest emotion to evoke in a person?
Make them laugh.
Humor. Yep. Humor is the hardest to do. That is why, stop and think about this, some of the best dramatic actors of all times were comedians first.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the most compelling stuff, you take people like Tom Hanks, he was a comedian first. You take Robin Williams, comedian first. There's a lot of these people. It is much harder to make people laugh than it is to make them cry. It is easier to get that low-hanging fruit. Easy to get that low-hanging fruit. That's why in Little House on the Prairie, they would always try to make it a tearjerker. And then if you look at Michael Landon, who did most of what he did on there, I mean, probably dating myself, I know there's a lot of people that watch Little House on the Prairie out there. Part of what he was doing, remember, in the last 5 minutes of every show, I don't care how bad the problem was, it got solved. But it was usually a tearjerker somewhere in there, and that was one of the strategies Michael Landon would use because he could crank out an hour episode like nobody. He was so good at it that people couldn't figure out. He would come in under budget. He was extremely good at what he did, but he also did it because it was easy, low-hanging fruit. If you'll notice, Little House on the Prairie had a few humorous spots, but not many. But that's the point. It is much harder to make people laugh than it is to make them cry. I could get out there and pull some tearjerker if I wanted. In fact, like I said, that just might be my next that might just be my next thing. Huh. Let's see who we got in the crosshairs for that one.
At least I don't have to edit Dad half naked anymore.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. All right, so the bad news, good news section. For those of you that are new, for every one bad, we give you two good news stories. All right. Well, this first one is definitely Hawaii.
Yeah.
That's the bad news. Man, there's so many stinky things going on there. And then James Strand over at Strand Farm, I mean, a consummate researcher. Man, I tell you what, when James takes root on something, man, you better stand back because he's going to have a PhD understanding of it.
Yeah.
And I was getting information here and there because I've been so doggone busy lately. I haven't really taken a whole lot of time to keep up on the news, the real news anyway. So I kind of get the cliff notes here and there. And then I kind of had in my mind's eye what I thought might have happened over there. Of course, we have Dr. Judy Wood's book down there on the shelf, Where Did the Towers Go?
Right.
And back when she came up.
I've got some stuff on that, too.
Okay, well, back when she came up with that book, folks, if you don't know, Dr. Judy Woods basically makes, I think, a compelling case that the towers on 9/11 were basically dealt with directed energy weapons. Now, being a person in my past, it did a whole lot of demolition work for the U.S. Army and was trained to do it. You always have a debris pile when you bring something down. Well, a 110-story building should have had a debris pile of about 11 stories. The debris pile was ground level. And I'm giving you just a very, 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 very small cliff notes. But there were things about that whole incident that I had forgotten.
It's amazing we still have a YouTube channel.
Yeah, well.
It's amazing.
Well, there were things about that whole incident that I'd forgotten. Like that hurricane, it was like a Cat 3 hurricane off the coast of New York that nobody ever talked about. Well, James reminded me of it. James Strand, remember, check out Strand Farm, y'all, on YouTube. Great friends, and I learn so much every time I'm around him. I mean, every single time I'm around James and Ashley. Anyway.
And Moose.
Yeah, little Moose. I love that dog. Man, you got me thinking of how cuddly Moose is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's all cuddly. She's all cuddly. Anyway, check this out. Well, that Cat 3 hurricane that was off the coast of New York that barely nobody ever talked about. The same sort of phenomenon kind of happened near Hawaii. And I didn't think about it. James brought it up. You got these death tolls over there, not letting in anybody at all.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole lot of whole gang of anomalies over there. But the most tragic part is all of these kids that are absolutely dead and nobody. They're talking about a Trump indictment. You're talking about, and this whole time Biden's laying on the beach himself in Delaware.
Yeah.
He's over there shading his NUTs out on the beach in Delaware. And they ask him and he's like, whatever, you know, just kind of blows it off. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So he could be wearing bathing shorts and still sunbathing his NUTs.
Man, I'm telling you what, dude, I can't say what I'm thinking right now, but I know a lot of people out there are. Son, you have an opinion on this?
Yeah, the Maui. Okay, so Mountain Dew, DEW, came out with a drink recently called Maui Blast.
No way.
Yeah, came out with, I don't think y'all heard that, but Dad said no way when I said that. The Maui Blast, DEW, directed energy weapons. Yeah. What are the chances of that happening? And then, like, none of these celebrity houses in the same area got touched. all these vehicles and metal structures are melted down to the ground, but there's green trees around it. I can light a bonfire full of wood out there, and trees are going to start turning brown, or at least catch fire.
If you want to check out the work of Dr. Judy Wood, look, first of all, there's about a 45-minute documentary out there. It's called Irrefutable. Son, hopefully we can attach that to this video here.
I can try.
Irrefutable. They practically scrubbed that thing. I think I know of one place, maybe on BitChute, I can find it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's called Irrefutable. It's a 45-minute documentary, and I want you to look at what happened there on 9/11. Then overlay it with those fires in California. Then overlay it with what happened in Hawaii. And folks, I'm giving you just a small. It seems to be in this audience, there are a fair number of researchers out there that, in fact, judging by the responses I've gotten, a number of people are actually going out there, putting foot to butt, finding this stuff out for themselves. And, you know, this, you know, that's the bad news. And it leads me right into the good news, because now all of a sudden, whereas child sex trafficking was not even in the zeitgeist for the longest time, and we were screaming it from the rooftops, now all of a sudden, directed energy weapons are in the zeitgeist, and you couldn't bring this up in good company, certainly around the time that Dr. Judy Wood came out with it, because, in fact, one of her videos, I mean, it's like 3 hours long. Man, you sit through this thing, and you will think, she will absolutely prove to you how the dustification, that's what it was. It was dustification that happened. And weird, crazy anomalies through the Hutchison effect, where cars are flipped upside down and strange things happen. All the metal's burned, but the glass is still in the car. Rims are burned out, but the tires are still there. Door handles burned off, gone, but the rest of the vehicle's still there. All these things that happened, all these same anomalies that happened on 9/11 seem to be happening in these other places, and they seem strategically done.
And if you're wondering, like, whether or not directed energy weapons are legit, it was a confirmed, open, known thing whenever, I can't remember if it was China or Russia that was melting a new pathway through the Arctic Circle. This happened before we moved to North Carolina. This, like, Clyde Lewis was reporting it. And it was an open, like, knowledge thing. It wasn't even a secret.
Yeah, but everybody is so willing to dismiss, oh, conspiracy theory. Look, it's just conspiracy. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, but I, you know, that's actually the good news. That's where I was going to say, people are waking up. Sadly, like, you know, me and Pastor Lon text every once in a while, and it's like, man, I'm starting to think that starvation is the only cure to this level of depravity. But, and to a certain extent, I still believe that. But when I'm hearing all of these people on the hardcore left, now they can't seem to figure out the reasons why, but they're saying, I mean, you're seeing all these like TikTok videos. I don't have TikTok, but I'm.
Well, I don't either, but they're reels. They're, like, people copy and paste them from TikTok to Instagram.
Right. And, well, I'm seeing them on YouTube, and people are saying, look, this is ridiculous, man. This guy's holding up a bag. He's like, man, this is $100, man. This is going to feed me 2 days. And then another girl pops up and says, I'm working 3 jobs right now and I can't make ends meet. You know, sadly, it's that crucible of hard times that really make people start. Now, these young folks, I'm concerned less for them than I am the people that are on fixed incomes.
Yeah.
That is what keeps me awake at night. That's what bothers me. That's what really worries me. And it really worries me in the dead of winter, when some of these people don't have the money to pay their heat bill, but we got money to send on over to Ukraine.
Or when their pride gets in the way of trying to help them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that happened the other day to me at Ingles. I was trying to help this lady, and she, like, absolutely was refusing.
Did you talk about that on the pod?
I didn't talk about it. There's this lady trying to buy, she was trying to purchase, like, baby formula and a bunch of other goods and stuff like that. And she was an older lady. And I was thinking, well, like, if this isn't the opportunity just slapping me in the face to, you know, do some form of tithing. And, like, the lady just absolutely refused to accept any kind of help. She was like, I pay my taxes. I should be, like, her card wasn't working. So I don't know if it was some sort of, like, food stamps or something like that, or WIC, or I don't know. But she's like, I paid my taxes. That it just kept going on and on. Anyway, she didn't get the formula, and she wouldn't let me help her with it. She wouldn't let me help her with any of it. But you just can't help some people.
Well, there was, you know, man, I don't know how to say this without, okay. So from time to time when we're able, we do things. And I had the same exact thing happen to me. I handed a gift card to a lady. I could tell, I if they got a bunch of junk in their basket, I'm not going to give them a gift card. If you
this
got ho-hos,
baby formula.
Right.
Yeah.
If you got ho-hos and ding-dongs, man, I'm kind of looking at what you got in the cart. I mean, if I can see there's some, you know, she's got, I could tell by what she had in there, she's working on a budget. I handed her a gift card and I said, you know, and I don't stick around. Like I'm not wanting your, I don't, I'm too embarrassed to wait for you to thank me or whatever.
Right.
So I usually, and this lady yelled, "Why are you giving this to me?" And I'm like, I didn't even have the wherewithal to say, well, I'm like, okay, man, I didn't even know what to do. I'm like, okay, man, I just wasn't prepared for that. So the conversation ensued a little bit, but still it was the same kind of thing you ran into.
Yeah.
And I understand people's pride is going to get in the way, or maybe I assume that maybe they're having trouble when they aren't.
And I was trying to be, I was as quiet as possible. I don't even think the lady behind the register even understood what I was doing. And then, yeah, it was just weird. And then also at the same time, I was trying to save time because the lady was already moving as slow as possible. And with this added thing of her card not working, the manager had to come over and all this, it ended up taking like 3 or 4 times as long.
Well, yeah, so there you go. I mean, we won't let that stand in the way of trying to do the good work that the Lord would have us do. Okay, so that was good news. People are waking up. Directed energy is now on the lips of a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
The economy is getting worse and worse. And I'm hoping at some point people wake up and say, hold on, you mean to tell me Granny's over here flipping a coin, whether or not she's going to take her heart medication, but we got money to send over here to these people in Ukraine to murder people. You mean to tell, I mean, you tell me where my interest lies in that. But people, I think these hard times are going to force people. I mean, unfortunately people are just flat out stealing.
Yeah.
My goodness, man, your mom and I mean, I was in, man, I hate to admit that I go to Whole Foods from time to time, but it's the only, I mean, sometimes it's all the only choice I have at the time. So, I mean, they put a security guy there, man. People are literally going to the salad bar. I seen them do it.
Man, being a security guard in Nashville has got to be an easy doggone job.
You can't stop them.
you could. I mean, it would be the easiest thing to do.
I seen this bum go in there and fill up like 3 to-go boxes. I mean, filled to the brim, dude.
Don't try that in an Asian store. Did you see that one video?
Man. Dude. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's where. Yeah, go try that in an Asian store. you're going to get a 5-minute flurry of fist.
Forget that song, Try That in My Town. Try that in an Asian store. We should do it. We should do a remix, Dad.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, hey, man, I know some nice, man. Asian batos that'll help me out, man. I know they'll help me out, dude. Oh, yeah. I think I got a plan here. I think that'd be a real funny story, dude.
Man.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you pull that in one of those stores, those guys don't play, man. I mean, he's going to drop kick you right from behind that counter.
He thought about what he was going to pick up and beat this man with.
Yep. And then people try to come down on him.
Yeah. And even the guy in front of the counter was like, hey, man, you can't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Telling them like, hey, don't defend your store.
Yeah. I mean, right. this is crazy, man. But people are filling up to-go boxes. I mean, I really think that I'll bet money on this. I'll bet by Christmas, one of the biggest thefts in grocery stores is going to be in the meat department.
Wait till Black Friday, Dad. When things are already expected to be hectic.
Yeah, and then Black Eye Friday.
What did you say?
Black Eye. Oh. Black Eye Friday. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, there's a little bit. Yeah. I'm going to leave it right there. All right. So the other good news is, check this one out. Okay. Now this ain't good news. I don't know what is, but we'll see if it ever happens. Calls grow to indict Hillary Clinton, Obama, and Biden for Russian collusion hoax after Georgia drops charge on Trump. Okay. So we now know 100%, without a doubt, it was and if you don't know, folks, you're getting your news from the wrong place. This is 100% fact that this happened. It was a manufactured lie. And they got away with it. And they're still getting away with it.
all the chefs are crapping their pants right now.
Yeah, boy. I'll tell you what, I'd hate to be on the staff in the Obama or Clinton household. Mm-hmm. Man, I mean, dude, the Clintons have killed more people than smallpox, man. And they're still getting away with it. Bodies are still dropping every time. Man, I think I'd be heading to the hills somewhere. But anyway, we'll see if that actually happens. So before we go into Pastor Lon, I want everybody to just kind of stay alert to the fact that there's a lot of weird stuff going on out there. I know we all know it. I know we all know it. It's all happening. But the real truth of it is, y'all, this is why we do this program. This is why we do the YouTube channel. You got to grow that food. There's a lot of bad things going on out there, but also there's a lot of good things happening, and it's usually happening among our tribe.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. We know the scripture's talking about when Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was crucified on Calvary's hill, on Golgotha's hill that day over 2,000 years ago. And he was crucified for you and I to be saved, to make heaven our home, our eternal home. So I want to encourage somebody here today, if you're not saved, you haven't been to Calvary's Hill, you may have been to a lot of places in your lifetime visiting from here and there, but unless you've been to Calvary, you really haven't been anywhere. So I want to encourage you today, if you haven't been born again, make that trip to Calvary and allow Jesus Christ to wash you clean with his precious blood that he shed that day that's still flowing for mankind this day. I pray that you would make that trip before it's eternally too late.
Amen to all that.
Yeah.
Yep. So, folks, I just want to echo what Pastor Lon said. You know, read Romans 10, 9, and 10. It's really that simple. Thou shalt confess with thine mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I know we joke around a lot, y'all, and there's also that detachment of Christians out there that seem to think that there's something wrong with having a sense of humor. I don't understand that brand, yeah. Or they feel as if they have to be constantly stoic. Or,
Pastor Lon is not one of them.
No, he isn't. No. He isn't. I mean, he has a great sense of humor. Yeah. In fact, whenever I'm around him, we cut up. I mean, he'll have you cracking up. I mean, for real. But at the same time, there's that detachment that think because we joke around and we kid about certain things. You know what? I seem to remember Elijah doing a little bit of kidding around too, right before he was ready to take some heads off, you know what I mean? And a whole lot of them. I always imagine, just a little side note, man, I just always imagine Elijah running alongside that chariot. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, man, he's sitting there booking, dude. I mean, can you imagine? I mean,
can you imagine the first time that happened?
Yeah. I mean, that robe's just slinging in the back. I just see him as I don't know, you know how you read a book and you have in your mind's eye a character, you know? And yeah, I do that with all the people in the Bible for the most part. I have what I think is the image of King David or what Solomon must have been like, or Elijah. Man, I don't know. It just cracks me up where, you know, the prophets of Baal are over there. He's like, is he taking a nap? What time is it? And dude, he did that right before taking them out, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love this. I love, there's a whole lot of scenes there. You know, a lot of other, man, I could really get sideways on here, but I won't. All right, before we get into the main topic, y'all, want to remind you, EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Remember that EMP Shield is not just to protect your vehicle should something jump off. Now, if it did, you would be a doggone fool to go grocery shopping after something like that went off. No, the EMP Shield is on my vehicle to get me to the crib, to get me back to Billy's Jungle Palace of Love. That's what it's for. And then the one on the house, not only is it meant to shunt certain types of EMP, but my biggest and your biggest threat out there is lightning strikes. And they got an ironclad guarantee. If it blows up anything in the house, bam, 25 G's, you're covered right through EMP Shield. So that alone was enough for me to reach out to them. So they didn't reach out to me as a sponsor. I reached out to them. So promo code PERMA gets you $50 off from EMP Shield. Okay, this program today, this topic anyway, is really on something that I had no, until a conversation happened earlier today, I had no intention of talking about it, but there's no way I'm not going to talk about it. Let me tell you what happened. I get a lot of emails, and folks, I may not always, now let me just preface this, what I'm about to say. I may not always respond because I just don't have the time or the bandwidth, but please do know that I read them all. And I'll be honest with you, I respond in some way or another. It may not be, you may have left a lengthy response, but I don't have a lengthy return that I can offer because I have a lot of them to get to. I can't read 5-minute emails and respond to all of them, you know? So I'm thankful for everybody that reaches out. Believe me, make no mistake on that matter. I definitely am. But when missionaries in Africa reach out to you and they tell you the plight that they've gone through and they tell you how this has unfolded for them, it catches your drift. Now, I won't say the names or anything, but a while back, I was contacted by a PhD who works as a missionary over in a country in the Congo. I'll just say it that way. Now, let me just give you a little bit of history, and this is just very brief. This is for all you sleuths out there that want something else to research. I want you to check out what was happening in the Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, when JFK was in office. Then I want you to research what happened when he was murdered and LBJ took over. Also, all these other countries where Kennedy had wonderful things going on. And then what happened when LBJ came over? Well, Africa was one of those places. Kennedy had a real soft spot in his heart for all the things that happened in Africa. He really did. And he was doing some wonderful things. And LBJ came in, and then all of a sudden, well, just read Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins, and then you'll understand what happened. Okay, now it was going back all the way to Eisenhower, but Congo is one of those places where it really broke for the worse. And it's been nonstop mayhem from that time until now. In fact, even before then. And don't think for a minute that our CIA and the State Department and everybody else doesn't have a hand in it. So I get this email, I read it, and she tells me this story about these villages. Particularly, it's a collection of about 15 villages. They're being attacked, and this is right across the border from Uganda, not far from the border of Uganda. These guys are being attacked, this village. In one village alone, I think they said it was 11. I may have misunderstood. It may have been altogether 11,000 people, or all 15 villages together was 11,000 people. But anyhow, these marauders come in, steal all their medical supplies, mostly medical supplies, steal a little bit of food, and steal people. And then what they take the people for is basically because they don't have vehicles or doing all this on foot. They use the people as their personal slaves to bring the loot to where it is they're going. Now, believe it or not, a fair number of these people escape after they get where they're going, or they wait till nighttime and somehow get away. Now, the way this happens is these marauders, probably a band of no more than 30, shoot about 4 rounds up in the air. Everybody goes scattering in these villages. And then they go in there and then they just take what they want. They have no way to defend themselves. Here's the crux of this story. Now, I'm being asked, because they saw probably our most popular video on YouTube. They saw this video of, you know, how to defend your property. Now, keep in mind, when I did that video, I did it with the understanding of people that live in somewhat of a functioning country.
Well, in the United States.
Typically, that's where I was aiming it.
Yeah.
But I was also thinking, okay, it didn't even occur to me. How could this be adapted to a third world country? And I'll be honest with you, by the time I got off the phone, man, I was perplexed. Had a little conversation with William and Michelle. I'll come to that in a moment. But when I did that video, she saw this video. And he's a bishop of these villages. And he's their Christian spiritual leader. And she showed, I had no idea they took this video and they played this before the whole congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bishop said, reach out to this man. He's a fighter. He's a farmer. and he's a Christian. Reach out to this man. So she reached out to me. And she basically asked, okay, she asked the whole congregation, hey, is this somebody we need to talk to? Apparently they didn't see the latest video or the one with my shirt off, which would probably be okay over in Africa.
Dang, Dad.
I mean, yeah, look, you got a bit of an insect problem, but you boys are from Africa. You're used to that. Anyway, anyway, all joking aside, I don't know if I can actually make that go aside, but so anyway, they watched that video and they said, reach out to this guy. So they reached out. They asked, hey, can we have a Zoom call? So here I am. They are now in Uganda. And their internet service is better than ours.
Yeah.
I can't even keep a straight internet. They're literally in Uganda. And they asked if they could talk to me at 9 o'clock this morning. And they were like 6 p.m. Ugandan time. And I'm talking to the PhD. And I'm also talking. And they work for a nonprofit. And they're telling me what's going on, and it's just absolutely tragic. And they're asking, have I ever considered a way to adapt U.S. Army doctrine into a way that could help these people over there? And I was very frank with them. I was like, okay, do you have any weapons? Because, yeah, I can adapt this no matter where I am. I can do this. If I got an army of people helping me out, I mean, I can't do it by myself. And I'm thinking, okay, how much can I really do remotely? So I'm getting some information. I'm going to touch bases with them again. But here's where the story took a turn. And folks, let this burn into your memory. So my first question was, I had a series of questions. And I'm like, do you have any weapons? She's like, well, they have bows and arrows. I'm like, bows and arrows? Didn't you just say the Marauders have weapons, guns? They're like, yeah. I'm like, can these people get guns? And they said, okay. The one lady, the PhD is actually an American. The other lady in the phone call is an African. She's from one of these villages. And she hasn't been back there in 20 years. But she keeps putting in aid and all these other things, doing everything she can to try to get money from the outside and help from the outside into these places. So she says, okay, I'll tell you a story. And I had to ask, huh, because she has an African accent. It was difficult for me to understand everything she was saying. Even though her English was impeccable, her Skype here and there wasn't awesome all the time. So anyway, here it is in a nutshell. Everybody had weapons until 2003. The government went to all these villages over there and did a buyback program. This is what she's telling me. This isn't me talking about Australia or some of the other places where this sort of thing has happened. They did a buyback program and they said, look, we're just going to get all these guns out of here and we're going to make it basically a felony. We need to get all these guns out of here, even though there was not a problem with crime. She said there were a few leaders that had guns, they had ammo, and what they would do was, you know, when things don't start no SH and there won't be no IT, that's how they lived.
Yeah.
And they only needed to use their weapons. They didn't even do it to dispatch their animals, even though prior to all the marauding and everything else, she said it was the best cattle country in all of Africa. Mm. So these marauders come in, steal all their vegetables from the gardens that were out and about, steal the cattle. Now they have no cattle, and the only vegetables they can grow are in kitchen gardens next to their house because they can't go out in the fields for fear that if some marauders come up out of the woods, they just feel like if they can keep their gardens, even though they're not sufficient, in closer proximity, they can at least not be far away when somebody comes up out of the woods holding a gun.
Right.
Foolishly, everybody turned in their weapons. I'm not going to give you the name of the village or the tribe or anything. What they didn't know is that the neighboring tribes did not. Mm. The neighboring tribes did not give over their weapons. To this day, they still have their weapons. To this day, the neighboring tribes are not being screwed with. To this day, the neighboring tribes have beaten back all of the advances of all these marauders. Now, to make something impenetrable, this is military doctrine. You need an obstacle. Okay. It can be a wall. It can be a minefield. It can be a ditch. It can be a moat. You need an obstacle. It needs to be observed and it needs to be covered by threat. Okay. Is a bow and arrow sufficient? Maybe when you have 11,000 people on them, yeah, possibly. Maybe
if you have enough.
You had 11,000.
A wall of arrows.
Right. But the people on the other 30 marauders with AKs are basically going to wipe out and take away any will to fight from anybody holding a bow and arrow. And that's where they are. Look, y'all, the moral to this story, the whole reason I'm even talking about this topic, is you're already almost certainly, if you have a thinking brain and you're listening to this podcast, so I know you do, I don't care what they offer. I don't care what the incentive. Do not give up your means, your primary means to defend yourself, because now the only people with weapons over there are the people marauding. You give up. You give that up in any way. That's why it says shall not be infringed. Right now, record numbers are buying weapons. We got more weapons in the United States than the entire world combined.
Yeah.
But with this CBDC, with the next whatever they're going to create, whatever pandemic, whatever the whatever may be, all these guys that I know of that have weapons stacked plumb to the roof, and these same guys have no food put back, you'll be handing those weapons in when they say, look, we'll feed you for a bowl of porridge, you dig? So think very long and hard about your preparedness game. Think about, what if I have no means to use my credit cards? Because that's exactly where we're getting right now. What if I have no means to defend the stockpile of food that I have? Look, this, according to these ladies, this was prime cattle country in all of Africa, certainly in the Congo. And by the way, Africa has more resources than any other place on the earth.
Yeah.
And that's why read Confessions of an Economic Hitman and then read Vulture's Picnic by Greg Palast, which is basically, it's written by two different guys, but basically Greg Palast is pretty much writing the part two. And you see why these people are in this plight. But folks, there is a profound lesson to learn. If you give up your means to defend what it is you have, you're done. You're absolutely done. You know, a 150-pound man who's a weakling can manhandle a woman at 100 pounds or even if the woman's 200. Bone structure, all that stuff. But you know what the equalizer is?
A gun.
Bam. That's what I'm talking about. And that bam was more of a pun, I guess. But yeah. You get the point. So, folks, I mean, I'm going to leave it right there regarding that whole topic. But I had to bring this up to you today. As they're telling me this, my jaw's hitting the floor. Now, I also am going to ask you people of faith out there to give me some prayers. Because I'm dealing with, I don't know that I can help these folks. I don't know that I can. And I don't know to what means I'm able to do it. I mean, my heart goes out to these people that have very limited means. But I'm not sure what I can do here in the highlands of North Carolina. And even if I were to go over there. So I'm reaching out. In fact, right before we started, my friend Thomas, I've known since high school, is actually married to a Ugandan woman. And actually lives over there. Right now, he just happens to be in Oklahoma. I'm going to call him back when this podcast is over. So I'm going to get some advice from him. I got my friend Arden, who's in 7th Special Forces Group. See if he knows some folks over in Africa. I'm going to see what I can do to help these folks. I'm going to look at some unconventional ways of doing it. I mean, I'm always talking about permaculture preparedness and practical living. I just don't know what I can do remotely. And then I'm going to also reach out to people like Eric Sider, see what he could offer. Maybe, you know, he has the ear of Jeff Lawton. I don't know what I can do to these people, because if there's a security risk over there, if you got weapons and you got marauders coming up out of the woods, believe me, a couple of well-trained people can hand the butts to these banana-eating, bean-farting marauders coming up out of these woods. But I don't know what you're going to do if you have no means to defend yourself. And apparently, the people they did snatch up with weapons, apparently, yeah, they don't get the bad guys, but all the good guys that they threw in the pokey,
yeah,
they slap such a bad taste in their mouth that all of the leadership over there is like, oh, they don't want, I mean, rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6, as the saying goes. So, folks, I want you to pray for me that I get, that the good Lord gives me guidance. I'm not always sure what to do in a situation like this. And frankly, if it was in America and I was doing a consultation on something like this, yeah, the solutions are rather easy. I just never considered what it would be like to try to offer these solutions to people that don't have a Second Amendment. So be thankful for what you have.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, demonstrate what we want. Permaculture was created because Bill Mollison realized protesting what we don't want was not going to achieve anything. He knew we needed to demonstrate how to live sustainably on this planet. It is a waste of your time and energy trying to convince people they must change. Like Jeff Lawton says, don't go bloodying your knuckles on doors that won't open. What we need is examples and demonstration sites everywhere, and for everyone to share our happy little accidents and our sad little failures. We don't need to waste any time making the same mistakes. We have all the knowledge and technology we need to live sustainably on this planet. We just need the will to do it. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there, Eric. He's going to be over there later this year in Jordan. I was kind of hoping to go with him to go to the Greening the Desert site, but I'm going to have a little grandbaby running around. So, or maybe not running around at that point. But
<That's> quick.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay here. But he's had a mouthful right there, really, yeah, on the heels of what we were just talking about, son.
Yeah, especially with not trying to convince other people.
Yeah, I found out that the worst mistakes I've ever done was trying, and you were there, trying to convince people,
yeah,
that this lifestyle might be in their best interest. Now, these same people, it was like that Snoop Dogg song. They got some Seagram's gin. Everybody got the cups, but they ain't chipped in. So they'd be around for harvest, but they weren't around for the hard part. So that was one of the rubs about teaming up with people, is that, yeah, they're there for harvest, but they ain't there for the hard work.
Right. The maintenance part.
Right. But like Eric's saying, as far as, okay, here's a prime example. When people saw what I did on that construction zone early on, and it's funny because somebody just sent me a picture. My buddy Devin sent me a picture of that site now. Now somebody's basically stolen some of the trees. He says, dude, we'd have fruit all over these trees, man, but these vatos up here keep stealing them fruit off the tree before it gets ripe. And so everybody, so guys are up there fighting over these fruit trees that I put in on this construction job.
So they didn't get covered in concrete?
Part of them, I guess, did, but all of them didn't. Yeah, so basic, or I guess the ones out back got covered in concrete.
Oh.
But some of the others, yeah, they're coming up. They're doing what they're supposed to. I hope to make it back there one of these days to go take a look at it and see what's going on, but maybe even plant some more. But going back to what Eric was just saying, and as always, it's profound, is that it's easier to demonstrate these things and then let it become contagious at that point.
Right.
Which is also, I'll be honest with you, there's that part in my mind thinking, okay, you take a very fertile place in the Congo, like what we were just talking about. You show what can be done, but you got to protect it. You got to do it. And I'm hoping that maybe, just like Jeff Lawton has proven in Greening the Desert, you do one site and then all of a sudden you train up some other people in how to do it. And then they start training up other people.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess that's what I'm hoping to do, is that YouTube has been a combat multiplier in that we're able to get out the word on a lot of what we do, and then hoping and then seeing the fruit, honestly, people writing and saying, hey, look what I'm doing, man. You know, got this from you, or got it from Jeff Lawton, or got it from somebody else. Check it out. I'm like, dude, that's the effect Jeff Lawton had on me.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. So with that, Hey, before we get in the Q&A, I want to say Harvest Right freeze dryers. We got a link down below. They got that new model out, apparently more efficient and works even better. We haven't had a single problem with the one we have, and that thing runs all the time.
Yeah, we haven't had any issues.
Just got to keep that oil changed. And you do that like every 3 to 5
uses.
Uses. And it's all you do is filter it, put it back in.
It's like a Brita filter.
Yeah, that thing is off the chain.
Yep. Got one on the Fountain app from Eric Sider. He says AI could probably make compost. There are automated tractors and excavators. Human-controlled AI is the danger. When it surpasses human control, then surely AI would see permaculture as the only way forward and direct all resources to earth repair. AI might actually save us from ourselves.
I don't know about that. It depends on...
I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean, I think... I mean, I guess that's a way of looking at it. I guess maybe, I mean, there, once again, Eric's always looking at things in a way that I never considered.
I guess if it doesn't surpass human control.
Well, if AI saw a benefit to itself, if it's that sentient, you know, maybe it would. I mean, at the end of the day, is AI, all it's saying is, hey, man, I need to keep this data center running to make me run. Okay, what do I need to do that? Well, I need a functioning planet. So maybe that does make sense. But it doesn't mean humans are involved in that equation.
Yeah, humans don't have to be there for it.
Yeah. Got one from Haskins family. And this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about, y'all. Here's one of so many people out there. I've been following the PimpCast for some time now. I wanted to thank you for the great information. Started diving into the sailor accounts of the USS Liberty. Truly unbelievable. I find it interesting when I even try to search for books or on a podcast. I had to really, basically, the algorithms keep it buried is what he's saying here.
Yeah, you can't use Google.
No. In fact, he says the rice knife is holding up well, too. That's the thing, y'all. They bury this stuff. In fact, there is a really awesome, I think, 3 or 4 part documentary at True News. It's called...
I don't know. I know Stu Peters has that one.
No, it's called... Oh, my goodness. Sinking the Liberty or something. Go to True News and look at whatever Liberty. Doggone it. I got the video. I mean, I sat there and watched it. I mean, this is a sailor's account of what happened. Israel knew for sure that they were doing it. They knew it.
Yeah.
There was no two ways about it. And And despite all that they tried to do to sink that, like I said, I'm coming down on every government. And their government, despite what some people want to believe, is just as wicked as ours. Maybe in some ways even just as bad or worse.
Got one from Rag3AF. Immortal Technique, you're the only other person I've heard talk about him besides me. Been going back on his music recently. Yeah, we can't play much of his music as for like transitions and intros on the podcast.
Yeah, well, we tried early on.
Yeah, we tried, but there's only like, I think, collectively 45 seconds of his music we can play on here.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, it was always, it's funny because I would use Immortal Technique like on some of the electrical jobs I'd do in the past as kind of a barometer to find out just how awake somebody was. Because if you would play it and they would say, oh, he's all right, you knew they didn't understand a word he just said.
Not a word.
Yep. And then if they were like, whoa, he's talking about this? Then you knew that person was awake.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a pretty good barometer. Heard he's gone. Didn't you tell me he's gone a little bit woke lately?
Yeah, he's gone woke. If you listen to, I mean, even in his music, though, he was still like a socialist.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's gone even further woke. Or I think, I don't know that he's gone woke, but he's using whatever technique he wants to further his message. So he'll agree with whatever because he can use it to pivot into his message. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I haven't listened to any of his latest stuff, but I mean, Rich Man's World, good night, boy. He spells it out for you right there. All right, I go by Cisco. I want to say you're an inspiration to all of us beginners. Well, thank you very much, Cisco. A little bit about myself. I'm working as a farmhand right now so I can strategize to build my own property. Anyway, he said he made some costly mistakes. Look, Cisco, we all do, man. It's all good. You know, I've lost a lot of money, and I say a lot of money in R&D, in trusting the wrong people, in teaming up with the wrong people. I mean, we've lost thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars if you were to add it all up.
But you're doing it in the right order. Yes. We didn't seek any like apprenticeship or anything like that until after we started homesteading.
Yeah. Yeah. It was ready, fire, aim in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And, but hey, we stuck with it and persevered. So yeah, you're going to do just fine. So he says, let's start with, am I incorrect in viewing a farm like a military operation? And, you know, I actually view it, it's a very good way, you know, Cisco, I never looked at it that way. To a certain extent, yes, in terms of operations, but I think a more efficient way, well, I don't know. I mean, look at those people in Africa. You know, yeah, you might have to look at it that way. It may be tactical permaculture, which is a, well, I won't get into that right now, but the point of it being, is I think you're going to work out a little bit better if you can view your project as a construction project.
Looking for efficient systems.
Yes. Yes. Well, the military is actually quite efficient when it comes to training people, but it's very inefficient in everything else. There's like my buddy JD used to always say, there's the Army way and then the way things ought to get done. So they're very efficient when it comes to training. I mean, very, very efficient when it comes to training, but highly inefficient to other things. So I would suggest that you look at how things break down on a construction job because they have to be efficient. Otherwise, the contractors don't make money. So there's parts of the Army you can put into it, like planning, you know, the five principles of patrolling, planning, recon, control, security, and common sense. You could take all that, put it together, and to a certain extent apply that to a farm, but I think you would be better served by looking at it first as a construction, and then because I don't know how to differentiate the two in my mind, because in my mind I'm always looking at every piece of ground not only as a farmer but also from a tactical standpoint. I'm like, okay, not only am I asking myself what will grow well here, what should I grow here, what should I have here, I'm also these days thinking, and actually for quite a while now I've been asking, how do I defend this? How do I make it hidden? How do I do this in a clandestine sort of way? So yeah, there's a lot there. Stay tuned because I might have a lot written on this very topic in the near future.
Got one from Melodious on the Fountain app. I know it's recommended to have a variety of breeds/types of species of tree. Ought we to mix up the rootstock species too? Or and should I find several of each root type?
You know, that's not a bad tactic. Akiva Silver in his book, Trees of Power, actually even does a little bit of writing on that very thing.
Yeah.
As far as switching up your root stock, a lot of people will find out what's best in their area and go with it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's funny you mentioned that because honestly, I was thinking about doing the same. Man, I'm not trying to hijack your idea. But when I had on Allison the other day, that Russian apple I can never think of. I was thinking about using it for rootstock.
Oh, yeah, I can't.
In addition to some of the M111 rootstock I have out here. But yeah, I think what you asked there is the consummate definition of permaculture. But keep in mind that some rootstock, dwarf rootstock, I'm never going to want to do that because it's just not, the longevity isn't there. And, you know, standard rootstock, you got to ask yourself, is it going to fit within the confines? Is it going to shade out too much before it's all said and done to where you can't grow anything? So semi-dwarf, does it work there? So you got to also be asking those questions as well.
Got one from Kentucky Sustainable Living. Question for you, Billy. I have about an acre of grown-up woods, lots of scrub, cedar, and smaller trees, some bigger hardwoods. Would it be better to have a forest mulcher come in and mulch all of it or cut the trees down by hand than burn them? The goal is to develop silvopasture.
I wouldn't burn it. Not there, not inside there. I mean, I would.
No, I wouldn't get a forest mulcher, though.
Depends on how. This is one of those questions where it kind of, you need eyes on and got to know how thick and developed it is, because they're going to have that thing looking like toothpicks are everywhere.
I've never seen it done well. And also, if you're going to come in and try to graze animals over the top of it, having seen it done poorly more times, well, every single time.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen it where it was beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare to get your animals across, especially, yeah, it's going to be a nightmare to deal with your nets, with your fencing, with your anything after that. I would go through and cut it down by hand, because then you're like selecting exactly which trees you want.
You just took the words out of my mouth. And then also, like what we've done up the mountain here, what we'll do is, now I don't know how thick, I mean, these are saplings and stuff. We just lop them down, chop them up in place, and then let the fungus take care of it. Believe it or not, that's a really good.
Yeah, there's grass all through there right now.
Yeah, so you can do it that way. You can lop them down, let the fungus take over. Or there's another option you could do. If there's firewood in there, we stack it up. We'll leave it right where it is, stack it up, and then at a certain time of year, we'll go up there, police it up, and get it out. I don't know about them forest mulchers, man. I mean, I've never seen it done.
Yeah, I've never seen it done well.
And then they always leave a little bit at the bottom.
Yeah.
Whereas with a pair of loppers, you'd never leave that there. So if it's a tree that, and a lot of them are, a lot of those scrub rushes are going to be the kind where you cut them off and they're going to want to come right back.
You're going to spend a ton of time just on the cleanup afterwards. And like frustrating type of cleanup. You know what I mean?
If they were to mulch it finally, because
if they were to do it well, yeah.
Yeah. if it were to like really grind this stuff up and then put it out there, it might rob a little nitrogen for a little while, but honestly, I think that would do better. Even what they do will work out, but honestly, I've never seen it done where I thought, there's never been a time where I didn't think I couldn't do it better by hand.
Yeah, because if you go through and do it by hand, at least you don't have to revisit it to redo it, especially if you're grazing animals over the top of it, which I imagine you will be.
Yeah. Well, you say in the silvopasture area.
Right.
Yeah. I'm always going to select to go by hand. It's slower. Hand by chainsaw. I mean, that's really the way we do it. That way I keep everything I really want to keep.
Yeah, I do it after the leaves have fallen, stuff like that. Just make it easy as possible on you. Maybe run some pigs through too.
Or if it's going to be some of those trees that you know you want to keep, but you're not going to be able to identify it as easily in the winter, I'd go ahead and tag them now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Got one from Stubbs Mill & Co. on the YouTube channel. And by the way, you can find us on YouTube, Permaculture Pimpcast. Well, maybe not after this episode. We'll see. Stubbs Mill & Co. America now needs tech to discharge heat from lasers due to Department of Energy discovering a way to make energy with lasers and fusion. The only issue, heat. The lasers take too long to cool to be a viable energy option at the moment. Though if some deal or breach happened to where we obtained that tech China has, of heat displacement for lasers, well, checkmate.
I think we are. I think we've had it forever and a day. Just like we've had DEW, directed energy weapons. I mean, right. I think like Ben Rich said, it was in the Skunk Works at Lockheed, that, and these were his words, that we have the technology at that time to take ET home, and I think that was back in the 80s. But he said everything's tied up in black projects. I think we have Richard, good night. He's a ufologist. Man, I'm really going to dislike myself or not remember his name, but he came up with the term breakaway civilization. And that's exactly what I think we have right now. Yeah. And so I think we have I think we have tech that honestly would seem like magic if we knew the full extent of it. You know, whether Bob Lazar was for real or not, I still think we have that tech out there. I think we have stuff that is so far advanced, so far beyond anything you could imagine. In fact, I worked with a guy once who worked in one of these deep underground military bases. And, I know people are going to think maybe I'll save that for another time.
Well, on the heels of that, B. Dalia says, please make the Occulted History podcast. Dad, you've got to do one of these episodes. People are constantly commenting. You've got to do one of these history episodes, even if it's just like regular history. Well, I guess you won't be doing any regular history episodes, but like whether it's that, the occulted history, any of it, you got to do it, Dad.
Well, I wonder if that ought to be a whole nother podcast.
Hold on, Dad. Hold on. Let's just start with a few episodes on this.
Yeah, we're all sleep deprived around here now, man.
Hold on.
Let me think this out, because there's so much I could put into it, and I'm thinking, man, how could I possibly?
It could be a replacement for like one of the Tuesday or Thursday episodes.
No, what I'm saying is there's so much of occulted history that I could cover.
Yeah.
That I know just from the top of my own head, and I'm thinking, good night, man. Where would I cover it? I mean, where would I even start? That's the problem I'm having right now.
Start at the beginning. The first conspiracy, chronologically. Start at the beginning. The earliest conspiracy you're aware of. And just work your way up from there.
Oh, well, let's think about that.
I got another one from Lynn Jasmine. Finally got rid of an extremely large pine, so guess what? I get to plant more fruit trees. And quoting scripture over a tree.
Oh, I like the way you roll.
Yeah. I got another one from Stubbs Milling Co. saying, I've been trying to explain the one-room schoolhouse premise. That's why we homeschool. Billy, you are like the homesteading pastor when you say what I need to hear.
Well, thank you so much for that. I think we all say what we... And folks, I feel exactly the same way. Being behind this microphone doesn't give me a greater share of common sense or anything else of anybody else. Believe me, this one thing I really love. It's hard to get me out of this house sometimes, but when I do go to these festivals and then I finally meet some of you folks face-to-face, it's like, man, there's no intro required. There's no feeling out, man. Some of these festivals, you've been there. I mean, we'll be talking till the wee hours.
Oh, yeah.
About things like that one time at SOE, man. We were out there talking until the wee hours about a lot of this stuff. And we all...
Which is funny because I grew up with this type of, this type of
talk. In our house, yeah.
Yeah, and then people are like... At that talk, people were around us like losing our minds that this is being spoken about at a festival freely, and that there's other people that think this way.
Yeah, everybody does this within this community, and this is why we need to get together more often. This is why I really love going to these things, and I think I'm going to really love this one up in Kentucky because I'm not presenting. I can actually go there and go to some of the classes myself. I mean... I tried to go to David the Good's class down at this other festival, and I had to get up and leave because this guy was talking to me during disturbing the class. And I'm trying to respectfully say, hey, man, we got to be respectful here, man. This guy's talking up here, Hey, let's get. And then 2 seconds later, I told your mom, I said, we got to go. Man, we're sitting here disturbing the whole, we ain't, but the guy.
Yeah.
But that's rare. I mean, 9 times out of 10, everybody's just fantastic. They're wonderful. And then when you see him again, man, it's like a homecoming, and it's just a joy. But yeah, I feel the same way about everybody out there, man. I think that just because I'm behind this microphone or we got a platform, that I think I have a better understanding of than anybody else. I mean, I don't. I just I'm thankful to be in this position sometimes. And feel the awful weight on my shoulder to make sure I try to do everything I can to get it right. Not saying I always do, but man, I sure hope I do. And I pray that the Lord gives me always the courage to admit when I'm wrong, if I do get it wrong, when I do get it wrong.
Did you want another one?
Yeah.
Got one from H. Sinclair, higher functioning slave. Ha 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 ha. Perfect. Love it, man. From the last episode. He likes that term.
Well, that's all we are. If all you know how to do is read or take instructions, you're just a higher functioning slave.
Got one from Janu. Dr. John Campbell of the UK has been talking about excessive death numbers in several countries.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. And they're right. I mean, you look at some of these actuarial numbers and it's absolutely awful. But y'all, I'm going to try to focus on the positive as best I can. And just like Eric said, beating somebody, and I for years didn't understand this, is that browbeating somebody with this information isn't going to do any good.
I've witnessed it not work at the Smithsonian while a person that we've talked about before was trying to convince people that we didn't land on the moon.
Oh, my goodness.
You can't convince people that looking, you just can't convince people at the Smithsonian that that we didn't do that.
He is going up to total strangers going on, oh, my goodness.
Like, mid-tirade. It's not like they were talking and then it got worked up and now they're yelling.
He's going up to total strangers.
Yeah.
You believe this? Check this out, man. And the guy's like, yeah.
He's like, man.
Have a nice day, man. I'm out.
Just walking by.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of quite embarrassing moments right there in D.C.
I was dying laughing. Me and my cousin were dying laughing.
No, there were some other very embarrassing moments.
There were.
Over and over and over and over. Folks, if you ever go to any place with somebody, make absolutely sure that somebody isn't somebody that's going to just embarrass the living daylights out of you. So, I mean, yeah.
There's, I think like the Jewish people have a term for this, a shlemiel and a shlemazel. A shlemiel is the one that spills the soup, and the shlemazel is the one that gets spilled on. Yeah. And that dude is both.
All right. Well, so I guess using a couple of Jewish terms there probably got us back in the good graces a little bit. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for checking us out. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. Like a cell, they want to spin up at the center of the nexus. Me, yeah, yeah.